We'll excuse our young people. I don't know if you've ever thought about what took place 2,000 years ago and the relevancy to us today, as well as the possibility of retribution 2,000 years ago. Turn to the book of Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 1. We looked at Elizabeth and Zechariah last week, who were the parents of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came 6 months, he was born 6 months before Jesus was. He grew up, and for 30 years he lived in the desert, and then he came to announce the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus. Luke 41, verse 45 tells us this: "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." As a man, I don't know what it's like to have a baby or be with child. Some of you women do. Some of you understand what Mary must have gone through. Once the angel announced to Mary that she was going to have a child, Mary waited a short while, and then she went to her cousin Elizabeth's. She couldn't go to her betrothed husband. He would not have understood. Who else could she possibly have gone to? She went to the one she knew, trusted, expected to be of some comfort to her, and that was Elizabeth. And when she went to Elizabeth, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt when he heard Mary's voice. And then Elizabeth prophesied. Yes, you women can prophesy. There is a place for that, and it has happened. We have it recorded in Scripture. There's a place for everyone in God's plan. Each of you has a place. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no question you have a place. You're here to be used by God. You're here to fulfill His word and purpose. Let's take a little time this morning and think about what Mary went through in preparation for the birth of her special child. First of all, as we all know, Mary was a virgin. She had no relationship with any man. An angel, whose name was Gabriel, came to her announcing that she would be the mother, to use a Catholic phrase, the mother of God. How could Mary believe this information? Science was not developed like it is today. How could this be? She was not trained as a priest or a rabbi. Where could she have heard this prophecy before this moment? It's recorded in Isaiah as a prophecy to Ahaz the king. At this time of Judah, Ahaz was the king, and in spite of the economy, or the enormity of this event in her life, yet Mary believed what Isaiah had prophesied. In Isaiah 7, 10 through 16, we have the prophecy that he gave some 800 years before this event. Let me just read that for you. Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16. Moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either of the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he, Isaiah, said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Verse 14 of chapter 7 of Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. We've been studying on Wednesday nights the minor prophets, and we have come to the book now of Zechariah, where there was no king in Israel, there was no king in Judah. This scripture was fulfilled. This prophecy was fulfilled. The name Emmanuel means God with us. That was also the name of Isaiah's son. So the event that the angel told Mary about was prophesied by Isaiah to King Ahaz. Mary might have heard that somewhere. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. So Mary talked with the angel before the actual event took place. How would any of us, you and I, have responded had we been the one the angel came to give us such momentous information? Who could Mary tell? The penalty for that at that period of history, for a young girl to get pregnant was death. Death. Death by stoning. She couldn't tell Joseph. There was only one place she could go, and that was to Elizabeth. And it was with Elizabeth that Mary had confirmed that she was pregnant. Elizabeth's greeting was the confirmation, actually, that Mary needed. God knew. God knows what every one of us need. He knows what you need. He knows what you need sometimes in a way of confirmation for your life, for what's going on in your life. And he sends it. He doesn't leave you with no idea. Mary's response to Elizabeth's greeting was well worthy of being recorded in God's word. After Elizabeth confirmed that Mary was to be God's choice to be the mother of Jesus, Mary sang a song. The way the scripture presents it, we don't recognize it as a song. But let me read you what this tells us. It's in Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and the imagination of their and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Can you just imagine the thoughts that must have been going through Mary's head and heart? There would have been a short time of 2 or 3 months when Mary would not have showed her pregnancy, but eventually someone would have seen her and told Joseph. The scripture tells us about it in Matthew 1, 18 through 24. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, which would have involved stoning, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, talking about Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Folks, do you realize what these people had to do? Do you realize the faith that they had to have to permit this to take place in their life? Faith on the part of Mary, faith on the part of Joseph, and all the people around them. You think they talked and pointed fingers like people do today? I think that's possible. Could they have thought that Joseph in Mary, going ahead and marrying Mary, was just doing the right thing? That's what a lot of people would think. None of us have any idea as to what kind of problems this caused for Mary and Joseph. As far as I can tell, we know nothing about Mary's family, but we're told about her being in the line of David. But it's different than Joseph's ancestry. They were both in the line of David, one in one family and one in another. Tracing their genealogy all the way back to David. Mary's genealogy is in the book of Luke, Joseph's is in Matthew. It's not a contradiction of Scripture. It's an explanation for all of us. Heli was Mary's father and Joseph's father-in-law. If you read the genealogies, you will see that Mary's ends with Heli. Two separate genealogies are given in two different books. It's simply a confirmation that Christ was in the line of David, as prophesied. I'd like for us to think about how the lives of the people who were involved in the birth of Jesus were impacted by the events that God brought into their lives. Everyone involved had no excuse. They had to exercise some measure of faith in order to accept the act upon the information that they were given. Both Joseph and Mary saw the angel Gabriel. He explained to them what was taking place. Now, have any of you ever seen an angel? The answer is probably yes, but you didn't know it at the time. You see, God communicates with his angels. They're not just there as decorations to be in heaven. They have a purpose. The things that these people, Mary and Joseph, and the people in their lives were being told would change the rest of their lives. The events would not transpire in a day or a week or a month. They would affect them for the rest of their lives. When we think about Mary and we think about bringing forth a baby and putting it in a manger, yes, that's part of the Christmas story. But think further. Think of 33 years later, as she stood before that cross and watched her son bleed to death for the sins of the whole world. Each person involved had to submit to the will of God for their life. And I hope that we all understand that God chose each one to take the part that he had ordained for their life. They had free will, and God knew that each one would respond properly to his will. Now, what application can we make from this? Scripture without application is worthless. It is. What has God told you that he wants you to do? If you're in communication with God, he's told you what he wants from you. I qualified that. If you're in communication with God, what is God's plan for your life? He has one, you know. Will you submit to doing what he wants you to do? Will you submit to his plan for your life, or do you know better than him? You'll do it your own way. You'll do what you want to do, what feels right to you, what feels good to you, comfortable. You know, we're entering the Christmas season right now. When we spend more time thinking about Jesus Christ, at least I hope so. It's not about Santa Claus and gifts. I would like to share with you, all of you, an opportunity that presents itself from time to time. We have missionaries. They come here to this auditorium and they share their work or the burden that God has given them. Some of them have submitted to God's call of service for them. They've left family and the ones they love to go someplace in this needy world to serve God, who loved the people enough to send them, call and send them a missionary. And that missionary is going with a message that God loved them enough that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, serving God, obedient to God's will 100% of the time, who for the last 3 years of his life went about doing good, and for that he was crucified. For your sin. That this could be a merry time for you of the year as you think about what God has done for each of you. But there are people out there who don't know this story. There are people out there that need to be told. And that's something that we can all do right now. I'm gonna have to admit something to you. In a sneaky way, I tried to force you in to telling people. I saw these pins. And I wanted you each to wear one. So that somewhere along the way, somebody would say, I like your pin. Where'd you get that pin? And you have a chance to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why he really came. We're approaching a special time of year when we give gifts to those we love as a demonstration of our love. And that's the only way you can demonstrate love is by giving. You all know that. Question. This is where you either get your feet up off the floor or you wear steel-toe shoes to church. You're going to give gifts to the people you love. What are you going to give to God? What are you going to give God this year for Christmas? Low blow. I'm serious in asking that question. What did you give God last year? Did you promise God anything? Did you keep your promise? Ask yourself this question. You already know what the answer should be, but ask yourself this question anyway. What am I going to give God this year? Now, I'm going to go a little deeper into this, folks, because we all know if somebody would come up to us and ask us, do we love God more than anybody else? Oh, yeah, of course I do. Do you love him enough to give something to him? Something much more valuable than what you're going to give anybody else. You love God more than you love your helpmate, your son, your daughter, your best friend. What are you going to give the people that I just mentioned this year, your helpmate, your son, your daughter, your friend? What did you give them last year? Did you give God as much? We're here because we say, well, we love God. We're worshiping God. God is so special to us. Are we demonstrating that? Are we showing that? If you vowed to give him a particular part of your life in a specific type of service, did you do it all year? God has given you the greatest gift he has. He gave you the greatest, most valuable gift in the entire universe. He gave it to you. What are you going to give him? I certainly understand that when we get saved, that we give our soul to God for safekeeping. We do that for all of eternity. But what about our bodies and the energy and the abilities that he has in turn given us? What ability could you give God for Christmas this year? Mary, Joseph, and all the people involved in the Messiah's birth gave that part of their lives in complete submission to God. Surely 2 weeks ago, in Wednesday night Bible study, used a word. I just used it, submission. Are we willing to submit to God some part of our life this Christmas? What do you have of yourself that you could offer him? I'm speaking about making vows to God. That's a very serious thing in God's sight. You say, well, how come you say that? Numbers 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. I would imagine that most of us have vowed a vow at some time unto the Lord. Have we kept it? As we just read in Numbers, a vow to God is a very serious thing. God expects us to keep our vows. We read about it in Numbers. Psalm 76:11 says, Vow and pay unto the Lord your God, that all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. Bobby said this morning in Sunday school, when he first read about Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, caused him to fear. Caused me to fear too. I'd like to submit a challenge to each one of you. Most of you have given some thought as to what you're going to give your family members for Christmas this year. Some of you have spent a lot of time thinking about what your family members need or could use. And some of you, like me, took the easy way out and gave them money. Or a gift card. That's okay. But I would ask each of us, myself included, what are you going to give God this year? For many of us, we get a blessing out of watching gift recipients open their presents and the pleasure they get from the gift that was given. Have you ever thought about giving God something that you have? Would you consider giving God something from you this Christmas? When we think about giving gifts to people, there's only so much time to obtain those gifts before the time gets here to give the gifts. The same thing goes with giving to God. There's only so much time when we can serve him. And if we miss that opportunity, we can never go back. So, what will you give God this Christmas? And will you give it to him forever? This may be your opportunity to do something that will change your life forever. Just think of the gift that Mary and Joseph gave to the Lord. They gave him their lives. Father, you love us so well. You love us so much, we cannot even begin to imagine it. We cannot begin to understand what you are doing in our lives. But Father, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. Father, that we might find the appropriate gift to give to you this year. And Father, may it be a gift that you will guide us to, that you will enable us to give to you. And Father, may it be an everlasting gift. And we will praise you for all that you do. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.